Right, I'd just like to exercise some caution here. There will be some high intensity noise coming this way, so hearing protection is required, although people are going to be listening to this on headphones, so therefore that's probably not the best idea. You know what? Let's just scrap it all and do this. This is the Noise Cancelling Podcast, and we are people who like to talk about technology. Let's introduce who's on the show.
I'm Sherielle Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
Hi, I'm Olivia Tambini, staff writer at Tech Radar.
I'm Kimberly Gedeon, and I'm a staff writer at Laptop Mag.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, and I'm global editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. And I'm back. I think nobody missed me, but I'm back.
I missed you.
I heard this podcast last week. You guys are having a lot of fun, lots of laughter. Like, everyone was free. It was, you know. I suddenly felt like, should I have ever been here? Should I have ever joined in the first place?
Of course you should.
But, you know, well done on a great podcast last week.
Thank you.
It was a very good podcast.
But we've got the dream team this week even. If we did one a year, I don't think we'd get very far. Pleasure to have you all on together. This is going to be exciting. And as we are normally starting with these days, and it's been very popular so far with our listeners, is the big question. And this week, well, Olivia, tell us what you found in a piece of news that we consider for the running order but couldn't make sound interesting enough.
So this not very interesting news is that Spotify have created a mini website where you can create your own workout soundtrack. So basically you put in details about what kind of music you like, what podcast you like, and it will generate you your own personalized playlist to go with whatever kind of workout you're doing. So that kind of led us on to thinking about working out, lockdown, and what kind of things we've been doing to improve ourselves during that time.
Well, that's actually the problem, isn't it? I think speaking to everybody, we all, when lockdown started, and you know, you read all the different articles about how to get through it, you know, to pick up a skill, learn something new, etc. We all had lofty goals. And I feel like what we need to find out is how did we all improve ourselves, but how close was that to our actual desires? And Kimberly, you're shaking your head, so I'm going to start with you.
I really, really wanted to glow up for this lockdown, guys. I really did. But it didn't happen. And honestly, this lockdown really exposed myself as just being a lazy bum, just full of excuses, because I used to tell myself, oh, I can't work out because I don't have the time, or, you know, my 2-hour commute eats up all of my workout time. And now that I'm not commuting and I'm working at home, I'm still not working out. So, you know, I started off really strong in the first 2 weeks of lockdown, and it just all went to shit. And I haven't been able to recover. So honestly, I feel like when this lockdown is over, people will either look their best or their worst. I don't think there's any in between. Like, some people will use the time to better themselves, and other people, like myself, will continue to be a couch potato.
So have you done literally nothing, or have you done some things and you're just being modest?
Honestly, I started off the first 2 weeks strong, and then I was just like, I can't. Like, treadmills, like, at what cost? Like, it's not, no. Yeah. It can't do it anymore. So that's why.
Would you say you're going to come out of lockdown with zero new skills?
Pretty much. Like, listening to myself, I'm going to try. But it's kind of like a New Year's resolution. Like, you're like, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and just never actually do it. So.
Okay. Well, that's a really strong opening of just achieving nothing so far. Well done. Olivia, what about you?
Well, I never really set out to work out more, but I had my mum stay with me for a bit during lockdown. And she was really keen to do those Joe Wicks workouts, which have been really popular in the UK.
You're going to have to explain those to the Americans. Come on.
Oh, God. So Joe Wicks is a, what's the word? A coach of some kind for exercising. And he's been doing PE with Joe every morning. So he does a live stream. Everyone tunes in around the country and tries to get fit during lockdown. So my mum was really keen to do that. So we were doing it probably every day for about 7 weeks. And then recently I aggravated an old injury. So for the last 2 weeks, I've done nothing. And I feel like all the strength I built up has just wasted away.
Well, 7 weeks is pretty good.
Yeah, it's okay. I went from not being able to do one push-up to being able to do one push-up. So I'm really proud of myself.
And how about your mum?
Oh, my mum was always much fitter than I was anyway. But yeah, she's done really, really well. But again, she threw her back out halfway through it, so we had to have a week off. So basically, exercise is dangerous. Don't do it.
Exercise is dangerous. I am on and off. I've actually lost 10 pounds.
Wow, congrats.
Well done.
And I'm super shocked because I have gotten, like, the skills that I will leave with, I've actually been on vacation. I just smoked my first brisket over the holiday. Super excited about that. I've learned how to make pizza dough from scratch and now make my own pizza. And I've been gorging myself on homemade cookies. So I am surprised, but I have been using the Bowflex equipment that the company sent over and I am reviewing. I am shocked as to how religiously I've been using it. Well, honestly, there have been some weeks where, like, in between, I'm like, no, can't do it, not doing it. Just going to give myself over to chunky life. But I like, but being that it's literally downstairs and every time I go downstairs, it looks at me judgingly. It's been working out for me.
And so what Bowflex stuff did you have?
I have a Bowflex Max Trainer. It is amazing. And it's basically like an elliptical and a Stairmaster and maybe a treadmill had a weird relationship and had a baby. And the only way I get through it is that you have... Bowflex has this journey app on there that gives you... courses that you can follow along with, and the coaches are always so positive, even though at times I'm cursing them out, like, I hate you so much, why are you smiling through this? But like, without it, I don't think I could get through, because those moments when I'm like, okay, I'm going to tap out, it's like, don't tap out, it's like, oh, did you know? How'd you know? I thought you were recording.
Yeah, that's the thing with working out, like, you have to really enjoy it or you're not going to be consistent with it. I think that's why you're enjoying the Bowflex so much.
What I want to do is I want to reach out to Tonal and see if they'll let me review their system, because honestly, I hate cardio. I hate it with a passion. I used to do track when I was in high school and I didn't run. I hate running. The only things I run to are my food and my bed, but I threw javelin and discus, and that's never changed through my life. So I love weight training. I'll weight train forever and a day, but the cardio piece of it, I'm actually shocked at myself.
I like the fact that you've done both ends really here. You've gone for the fact that you've actually done workout, you've lost weight, and yet you've also learned a skill in terms of, when you first said like, I smoked my first, I thought you'd say like, I really got into like Cuban cigars.
Like, oh no,
I'm really into smoking, like properly. I thought I've wanted to try it for ages and I'm really messing my lungs up. I'm really proud.
I love cigars, but it is a sometime treat. And being in America, like until you come back over here, until travel is allowed, I will be cut off from my Cuban supply. But I love a good cigar. It's like a every 6 month type of treat.
When I was over in America last time, or a couple of times ago, someone took me to one of those cigar rooms. And my God, it was one of the worst experiences of my life.
What? You know. I love the Carnegie Club. Oh my God, it's amazing. Like scotch, cigars, good conversations. I'm all about it.
You can't talk. It just smells like cigars everywhere. It's awful.
No, I'm fine with that.
The smell is quite bad.
I'm fine with that.
But yeah, I think your skill of learning to cook properly, and not just like in terms of an oven, but in actual over a smoke, I think is pretty sweet.
It has been an exciting journey. Like, I started out with pork shoulder. I did a 14-hour smoke and it was falling off the bone tender and delicious. And I did my first brisket and I've had some tweaking to do. The fat cap didn't render out the way I was hoping, but next, like by the time summer's over, I'm going to have this perfected, and I'm so excited.
Wow. I don't really want to go now because I feel like I've achieved basically nothing in the same way at the same time. I also did, well, I again didn't have any plans. Beyond trying to learn piano, I thought that'd be great. I downloaded the How to Teach Yourself Piano app and really enjoyed it, and then found out I've got no time to actually do this because work still happens, and I now live with a 6-year-old, like I just found her, but no, me and my partner have moved in, which is great, and we did so during lockdown, and it turns out that looking after children you have to do a lot of things. They don't just go like, you know what, just chill out, I'll just watch TV or something. They want to do stuff all the time. But we also did Joe Wicks in the morning. And by the way, Liv, I don't think even PE translates across very well, does it, guys?
Physical education?
Oh, fine, it does. Okay, yeah. Sorry. That was a very English phrase. So the body coach stuff, I did that, and I managed to get back. I managed to lose a lot of weight as well, which I was really pleased with, and that helped with running as well. So I finally feel like I've got back into shape when it comes to running. But Kimberly, I have to disagree with you. You don't have to enjoy exercise to do it. I don't like it, and I seem to do it every single day, and just out of just pure, I don't know, hatred for myself or something like that. I just seem to make it happen every day. It keeps coming back over and over again.
Well, I can't fathom how someone could just hate exercising and just actually do it.
Honestly, in my case, because diabetes runs in my family and I want my feet, so I'm gonna it's kind of like, do you want your feet or do you want your cake? I want both, so I'm going to work out enough where I can not worry about losing my feet, so I can have a slice of cake.
Fair enough.
That almost goes to like explain the have your cake and eat it thing, but have your cake and feet it? No, anyway.
Yeah.
there's a pun in there somewhere, but it doesn't work. Okay, I mean, Cherie, clearly you've won lockdown so far. You've beaten us in terms of exercising, and you've learned a culinary skill. You know,
yes, I think I am excited.
Come straight back in again. Well done. Right, let's go into what's been happening this week. There's, as always, a lot. Kimberly, you've done some interesting stuff over on Laptop Mag where you grace us with your words. Apple VR, different to Apple Glass. This is a big deal, right?
Oh, it's a big deal. So don't tell anyone. But Apple is reportedly working on a secret VR headset. And this is not to be confused with the Apple glasses that you guys were hating on last week. You know, this is the Apple VR headset. So like an actual virtual reality headset that will be focused on gaming and a full immersion into the virtual reality world. So here's what's super interesting about Apple VR. So according to some secret insider information at Bloomberg Businessweek, Apple has been working on a VR headset since 2015. But there's been some infighting going on about what direction they want to go with when it comes to the VR headset. So Mike Rockwell, a top hardware executive at Apple, spearheaded the VR headset team several years ago. And initially, he wanted to create this sleek, powerful VR gaming headset, not the clunky, heavy ones that you see on the market today. But the team kept running into these overheating issues. So he decided to offload some of that powerful hardware from the sleek headset and throw it into a small stationary hub that would work wirelessly with the sleek headset. That way, consumers can still get a sleek headset and get that top-notch, powerful specs, you know, with the hub. But then Johnny Ive, the company's then design chief, was like, hell no, we're not putting a VR headset out on the market with a stationary hub. We want it to be a standalone device. And Rockwell was like, no, that's a bad idea. Because with the hub, we can still blow all the other headsets out of the water and still have that sleek headset. So eventually, Tim Cook sided with Ive and was like, yeah, we want a standalone device. So I'm kind of really, really intrigued by like this whole drama that's been going on inside Apple about, you know, what vision they have for VR. So apparently the current vision that they have now, according to the insider, is that this Apple VR headset resembles a smaller version of Oculus Quest, except instead of having a plastic body, it will have a fabric body and has all these amazing specs. So what do you guys think about this secret VR headset that's coming into fruition inside Apple?
I was when HTC Vive came out, which is obviously one of the early well-known VR headsets, HTC was super excited about it, like really, really jazzed about what they created. And they should have been, because back then it was crazy good. They never really improved on it. But very quickly, they were going to do something very similar. And they internally were telling me that this is coming. You know, we're going to have a headset that plays off the phone, like with a wire, and then eventually it's going to become wireless. And for some reason, they could never do it. They could never make it work. The power wasn't there, the battery life wasn't there, and also the titles weren't there. So reading like what you've written about the Apple VR, I thought it reminded me straight away of exactly what they were saying. It was like, why do you need to have, you know, all this machinations from a computer? Just stream it wirelessly from a phone or from a laptop or whatever. And the idea is great, and obviously we are seeing some VR headsets now do that kind of thing wirelessly. But the amount of processing power and the lack of lag that you'd need to make sure you didn't get motion sick is an incredibly difficult task. And I'd be interested to see if Apple could actually do it, or whether this is just them playing around with loads of things, which Apple does. You know, it reportedly nearly bought TV manufacturers in the past and rode back. It reportedly was going after self-driving cars and pulled back. And, you know, for a company with that much money, you'd imagine they're going after lots of different things. But again, if Apple could do it, you know, this would, it would be massive.
I wish that they had gone with the Rockwell version of this, because I'd rather, for VR, I'd rather performance over standalone. Like, and don't get me wrong, I am a huge fan of the Oculus Quest. I love being able to walk around with no wires and not have to worry about either tipping over an expensive gaming PC or potentially yanking a gaming laptop off of my desk. That's wonderful. But I think with Apple doing a wireless hub, I think that would have been the elegant solution to everything. And you could have had something that rivals the Vive and the Rift S. And I haven't tried out the Valve Index yet, but it is in my house, so stay tuned for that review. Design-wise, it sounds like Apple did what Apple normally does. It sits there and watches the competition, and it's like, okay, we're going to do better than that. So when I hear fabric, it makes me think of the Google Daydream, rest in peace, and mixed with the Oculus Quest, which is not a bad thing, because I think that the Quest, in terms of modern VR headsets, is one of the better looking and better designed VR headsets on the market today. So kudos to that. So if I could get a smaller fabric thing that breathes, so if I wear it for an hour or more, my face isn't just, it doesn't feel like I've come out of a sauna on my eyes, that would be awesome.
So even though the Apple VR headset won't be as powerful as they initially wanted it to be, they still say that it will still rival the Oculus Quest and the Oculus Rift S. And like, they're saying that this thing is going to include like super high definition display that will make it so difficult for gamers to differentiate between reality and like an actual computer simulated world. It's going to have like external 3D sensor cameras to help you map out your surroundings, and it's going to include these powerful processors that is going to be the same thing that's going to be included in the MacBook Pros, the silicon, the custom-made silicon processors that Apple's been touting. So, and of course, there's going to be Siri support and all that good stuff. So I think that even though it won't be as powerful as they envisioned that it would be, I think that it would still be a competitor with a lot of these consumer favorites that are on the market today. So we'll see. And it's Apple. So if anybody can actually make a sleek headset and make it powerful, I think Apple could accomplish that.
Imagine if Apple just went in a really weird direction. And I think obviously their power is in app stores and loads of titles and being able to really, you know, push the things that people want into the headset. The VR headset literally has one job, which is to give you a virtual dog. Like literally that's all it is. You it's one title and you put it on and you get to look at your dog. And that's Apple's big thing. They won't let you put anything else on there. It's just literally you get to do a dog. And I reckon you did that, people would just go crazy. Like, have you got an Apple dog yet? Have you got one? And then there's people all there just looking after their dogs, just wandering around having a virtual dog.
I would love that. Even though I've got a real dog right here with me. I mean, if you have a virtual dog, you don't have to walk it. You don't have to feed it. You know, it's quiet. So.
But you don't get the cuddles. I need real life cuddles.
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Apple goes really, really narrow with it, and really, yeah, releases kind of like these virtual reality skin suits, so that you can feel and cuddle your dog, and that you have to like find a way to like exercise for it and run with it. I don't know. Like, I can just imagine it going really specific, and for some reason, it taking off like a Tamagotchi, but in like massive level, and everyone just going crazy. And again, Apple has just changed the game, and people don't understand how it happened.
I think you make a really interesting point, Gareth. I think instead of like trying to, you know, put out all the best specs, they need to just go specific and maybe really hone down on a specific niche, and then that would probably help them stand out in a different way. So I think you have a good point.
Thank you for corroborating my nonsense. That I was just trying to think something contrary, but I've changed my mind. Kimberly's getting the points for Big Question. It's all better now.
One more quick thing. Like, my other concern with this is battery life. I do wonder what the battery life is going to look like with this, because self-contained VR is very, very draining on a battery.
Yeah, and it'd be crazy. I mean, like, of all the brands you'd worry about having a standalone headset, Apple wouldn't be the one you think would be most long-lasting. Battery life has never been front and centre of that company's desires. It's basically good enough and we'll see what happens. But I mean, how long do you need a dog to last? Like an hour? Then you're bored of it? That's how dogs work, right?
Also, why stop at dogs? I mean, like, a lot of people have dogs. If you're going to have a VR pet, why not have like a giraffe or an elephant or something that you can't have?
A giraffe's good because then you're going to be looking upwards all the time and you'd know they're in VR giraffe land.
Yeah, it'd be super fun.
But in terms of what Apple is doing in terms of the virtual space, the AirPods Pro recently got an upgrade, and they will be getting an upgrade in terms of adding in spatial audio, Dolby Atmos, all these kind of things. And Liv, obviously, you're the audio expert here. Is this going to be a game changer for the AirPods Pro, or is it just Apple bringing itself up to the level of what the rival's already doing?
It could be, because there aren't actually, that I know of, any other popular true wireless earbuds that have brought spatial audio. And the thing that's super interesting about it is that it's going to bring this kind of cinematic style immersive sound to your music. So I think it could be a really positive thing for Apple, especially when, I mean, this was announced at WWDC when we were all hoping to hear about new AirPods and we didn't. This was actually a piece of really interesting AirPods news. So yeah, I think it could be really important for them.
I'm really excited to try this out and see how it works, because the idea is that using gyroscopes inside the headphones, which we didn't even know existed, you know, these gyroscopes will be able to like tell where your head is moving in 3D. So therefore, if you move the phone, if you're on an airplane and the airplane banks, you will stay within this 3D space. And it doesn't kind of confusingly feel like a whole cinema bolted onto your head, which would feel weird, to be honest with you. But it's going to allow you to do things like, you know, if the apps that you're using, Prime, or whichever, Hulu, HBO Max, if these all have the 5.1 surround sound enabled, you're going to be listening to that surround sound on the go, which seems pretty amazing if it actually works. And I've been seeing surround sound mooted for headphones for so long, so I'd be impressed if it actually does come through.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is how successful it's really going to be, because true Dolby Atmos uses either speakers fixed to your ceiling or up-firing tweeters, so it can bounce sound off of the ceiling and back down to your ears, making it seem like sound's coming from all directions. And obviously you can't do that with a pair of headphones. So it'll be using virtual processing to kind of mimic that effect. And that's been pretty effective in some soundbars and stuff, but so far we haven't seen it work that well in headphones. It's always come across as quite kind of like alien sounding and not very natural. So yeah, I'll be really interested to see if they can pull it off.
Cherie's face is telling me that she's got thoughts.
Well, number one, Sony actually does a 3D audio technology with the, Jesus Christ, the WF-1000 XM3s, I want to say. So they're premium wireless buds. They actually launched a app to go with that maybe a couple months back that will allow you to do spatial audio with certain apps, so like Spotify. I think it works with Tidal. I think it works with a few other things. I'm excited to see how this is going to work for AirPods, because I'm very impressed with the active noise canceling that it's capable of delivering. Is it as good as a pair of over-ear or on-ear headphones? No, but still, for such a tiny piece of technology, it does what it's supposed to do. I don't know if we're going to get 5.1. I'm curious to try out the spatial part of it, because for me, spatial means that if I turn to the right, I get all of the sound that's coming from the right is amplified and vice versa. So we'll see how that works. And 5.1 definitely means that we're not getting overhead. So if you're watching an action movie and a plane flies overhead, you're not going to get that effect. So I'm curious as to how the sound processing is going to be on that. But I'm cautiously optimistic about it.
To that point, Cherie, I think when you're watching a Dolby Atmos film, you'd actually get that. Let's say in the film there's a plane flying overhead, you will actually feel as if, and you'll actually hear the plane just passing over you, but it would have to be a specific like Dolby Atmos film that would enable that. So I think that sounds pretty cool.
Do you not think that it shows exactly why Apple has been encoding so much in Dolby Atmos as well? Because all of its, you know, when it upgraded a lot of things to 4K HDR for free, it also came with Dolby Atmos in lots of cases, or 5.1. So those things are automatically going to have that capability straight into your AirPods, and you're about to use them. You're about to use them with your Apple TV, but I don't think the spatial audio will work there. But when it comes to your phone, it's going to be pretty cool to be able to, you know, if that spatial audio does work, and you can turn your head and it feels like it's really moving, that's going to be pretty crazy. Because, yeah, Sony does the 360 reality stuff, but that's a whole new audio format that it's having to work with other brands to create. And it's so difficult to make that work. This is just literally an already established wide-ranging format that uses these gyroscopes to make things happen. And what that also allows, that, you know, it would mean that it's not just the, you know, the surround sound or any effect that you can do. It could be, you could use these gyroscopes for games and like flick your head around, and developers could react to a certain game based on what you, how you move your head. Or it could even be fitness. So like the AirPods could, developers could therefore use them maybe to track squats or push-ups or burpees and actually give you a fitness workout feedback as well, just by using the things in your ears. Although I've had those before, they're not always that accurate. So I'd be amazed if Apple could jump forward with that, because it's so hard to know when someone's really going up and down properly and gets all the reps.
It would be interesting to see as well whether Apple Music gets support for Dolby Atmos music, which has recently come to Tidal. So that kind of takes your music and puts it in that 3D sphere that you get from Dolby Atmos. So yeah, we haven't heard anything about it yet. And Apple Music had its fifth birthday not too long ago. So I don't know, maybe when we see the iPhone 12, we'll get an announcement like that.
Is it 5 years? Shit. Like, life is so
it's
fast.
Old.
Ah, oh, that makes me sad. It really does.
Sorry.
It's all right. I mean, actually, being sad, that segues us on again very nicely to another story that's come up this week. Laura Bailey, who's the actress who voices Abby in The Last of Us Part 2, has had to come out and talk about online harassment that she's been getting just for simply playing the character, which is something we don't really want to be talking about. But I think it's important that this is raised up, because it's not okay. And it's not something you want to be seeing in this industry, right?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And long story short, you know, Abby murdered the beloved character in the game, and people have grown attached to said character since the first Last of Us. And people have been going after poor old Laura Bailey, who is just a voice actor to a fictional character, as if she was the one herself who committed this crime. And it just brings up the question, you know, whether, you know, people have a really difficult time separating reality from fiction, especially gamers who get so attached to these characters. And also brings up an even greater question about, you know, how we discuss and critique games, and, you know, whether some of us take it too far when it comes to gaming.
It's a game, folks. And as someone who lives and breathes video games, it's a game, folks. If you didn't have those beats, like, it's a story beat. If you didn't have those beats, you wouldn't be as tuned into the game as you are. She obviously did an excellent job, which is why she's getting these threats. But also, don't send threats. It's a game, folks. Like, why, like, this person does not breathe, does not exist in real life. It, like, I don't know how. The fact that we even have to have this conversation is galling to me. Like, and
yeah, it's not that serious, people.
It's a game, and it's a real life actress. Like, and something else that I noticed when this first started bubbling, it made me think of Breaking Bad, when the actress who plays Skyler, everyone had so much hate for this actress playing a fictional character. Fiction. Have we lost that definition? Like, not real, doesn't happen, here for your entertainment. You never see as much vitriol for male actors when they're doing something, their character is doing something despicable. It's just like, come on, folks. Like, the sexism and the lack of empathy for real human beings is scary.
That's the thing. And I think the sexism thing comes into play as well when you look at some of the abuse that the director of the game has been suffering recently on Twitter, where he's, you know, been kind of called a feminist in a derogatory way. And like, just because I know that there's a lot of prominent female characters in The Last of Us. And I would be interested to see if similar characters played by male actors would get the same kind of abuse online.
You can imagine that, and we've seen it in films, and that the people do believe in the certain characters and get to go a bit too far, you know, even down to soaps where people just think the characters are the same thing. You're right, I don't think it would be the same for men at all, because there's this idea that it's, I can't even, to be honest, I can't even fathom out, I can't even begin to think why people might think this is okay to do. Last of Us, obviously the director, it was Neil Druckmann, who he shared some of the stuff that he's been getting. You can find that online. I don't want to highlight necessarily all the words that have been shared, because I don't think they need the oxygen, but he said, "You can love or hate the game and share your thoughts about it. Unfortunately, too many of the messages I've been getting are vile, hateful and violent," and he gives a handful of them, and uses the trigger warning: transphobic, homophobic, anti-Semitic, etc. And it's just not okay to be, I mean, these things are crimes in themselves. It's not okay to threaten people's lives, no matter whatever reason you think it's, just because it's fictional where it came from, the words are real. And it's good to see that Naughty Dog has come out and said that they've condemned any form of harassment or threats directed towards our team and cast. And although we welcome critical discussion, we condemn any form of harassment or threats. Their safety is our top priority for the cast, but we must all work together to root out this type of behaviour and maintain a constructive and compassionate discourse. This isn't really discourse, in my opinion. It's just ridiculous. And I'm glad that the industry has been overwhelming in its response and being positive.
Also, folks, if you're that pressed about female leads, don't buy Tomb Raider, don't play Metroid. Like, this isn't new. If you're that pressed, don't spend your money, because as I saw, Last of Us 2 is making big bank, so you can't be that peeved about it. You just want to just flap your gut. Like, I cannot stand Twitter fingers. A lot of these people, if you get them face to face, they would not have this type of vitriol. And just because you are so-called anonymous, like, have the same decorum that you would have for that person if you were in person, aka keep that same energy. And I cannot stand internet thugs. Like, we are literally in a pandemic. The game is meant to entertain. It did its job. If you don't like it, just say that in a reasonable manner. Death threats are not warranted. And you keep messing around, folks are going to ping IPs and your information is going to be out there, and there are going to be repercussions. We're coming to that point because people are taking it to an extreme.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, you can say you dislike something, you can say you hate something, and, you know, contribute toward a productive, you know, discussion and say why you dislike, instead of just saying, you know, I'm just going to kill you. I'm going to kill you and your family and your children. Like, how is that productive? I mean, it's deranged. It's almost demented. It's ridiculous.
It's the reason that when I go to E3, and God, if there is ever another E3, like, the security measures keep getting tighter and tighter and tighter, because the fan base these people that say that they love games are not behaving in a way that says that they love games. Like, E3 used to be a place where you could just walk in, see your favorite games, like, ooh and ah. Now there's metal detectors, there's all, like, oh, you can only bring in bags, like, all these things to you have to jump through because a loud minority, because I refuse to believe that gamerkind is just this toxic. Like, yes, there are toxic elements in every fan base, but I cannot believe that something that has brought me so much joy and camaraderie over the years is this toxic throughout. They're ruining it for everyone.
But let's focus on the positive side of gaming. We've got more things coming out this year. This is a big year for gaming. And Cherie, obviously, the Xbox, we've got the big event coming up, right? There's going to be a good showcase where we can celebrate gaming and not have to worry about the dark side of it.
We do have a showcase going, and Lord, oh Lord, Xbox has some big old expectations to fill now. Sony dropped the gamut, and it's like challenge Xbox. So they really, really have to bring it this time. They have to show actual gameplay, not just trailers. Or at least don't make that claim. And I want to see, yes, I want to see big third-party games. Who doesn't want to see that? But I need to see what Xbox is working on first-party-wise, because it's going to make or break them this console generation, just like it broke them last console generation. So they, like, with all of these development studios that they've purchased, they have to come big, or they're really going to have to go home. Nobody, nobody wants to buy the world's most powerful console if there are no games to play for it. You know what that is? That's a big, expensive paperweight. They can't afford to mess this up.
So it's one of those things where you never know, obviously, what's going to happen at these, but no one expected a PlayStation that we were going to see the actual console itself. Microsoft's already shown off the console. Are we going to see a big surprise, do you think? Or is it just going to be the gameplay again, taking things a bit further forward?
I mean, at this point, they need to show Lockhart, because the rumor mill are buzzing about this cheaper Xbox Series X. So they need to codename Lockhart. So they need to show us something. They need, like, we've theoretically seen the Xbox Series X, but they need to come out with something big. I don't care if it's Lockhart. I don't care if it's a collector's edition. They, like, not only did Sony show off the console, they shut off headphones, media control, like all this stuff, even though we did not see the PSVR, which I was a little bit disappointed about, but we shall see. But Xbox has its work cut out for them. I'm gonna keep them in prayer and hope that they can rise to the occasion. Either way, I'm still going to get it. Like, it's just the gamer in me, so I am going to get an Xbox. I am going to get a PlayStation 5. Like, all of it will be owned.
I think what PlayStation did that was really, really smart, but also kind of annoying at the same time, is the way that they've been going about things so secretively and then kind of slowly revealing things. I think Xbox kind of revealed things way too quickly, and then the hype kind of died down. But then, you know, PlayStation is just like, you know, I'm going to keep all of you guys in suspense. Then boom, you know, console reveal. And, you know, I think what Xbox needs to do is they need to really, really try to one-up PS5's future gaming event. Xbox needs to come through with that, you know, Xbox Lockhart, which I hear is like this all digital, you know, cheaper Xbox, like Cherie mentioned. But rumor has it that that won't be talked about until August. I mean, I'm hoping they really come through with something big, something buzzworthy that could get people talking on Twitter and social media to get people excited again about the Xbox Series X.
Right. We've got one more new feature coming up. We are running massively out of time as usual, and I do want to get onto a much wanted unpopular opinion from Kimberly. But we're going to try something this week, which is called the News Blast. So each week what we're going to do is either me, Cherie, or one of the guests is going to have to try and do as many news stories as they can fit in and get as close to 60 seconds as possible without having practice, without having time themselves. So is someone willing to time me to see if I can get through, I think, 14 stories?
Yes, I'm pulling it up right now. All right. And 3, 2, 1, go.
So the first one is the iPhone is another clue that it won't come with a charger in the box. That sounds crazy, but it might be happening. Amazon Prime Day looks like it's going to be pushed backwards to October the 5th because Amazon just keeps shoving that one. Microsoft is going to be annoying Windows 10 users again because it's moving the control applet out of something into something else. Apparently that's a big thing. People are upset. Bosch has unveiled a futuristic electric bike. It's got integrated ABS and it looks amazing. WhatsApp has got loads of fun new features rolling out right now, which you should check out, especially dark mode, which is coming to the web. So if you do love dark mode, that's there for you now. The Asus RTX 380 Ti leak has shown us that there's going to be a next gen that showed us what the flagship should be able to do. Google's most valuable Android app of 2020 is Google One. That's a thing that is basically their version of Amazon Prime. That's happening. I've done that twice in the list. Shit. The Galaxy Tab S7 is going to be coming out soon. PS5 has been given a black edition in a fan concept video. It looks amazing. The OnePlus Nord, we got more information. 48 megapixels for the camera. That would be crazy and could outshine the OnePlus 8.
Time!
Ah, crap. Okay, I had three more to go.
That was impressive.
I was very impressed by how you said Asus RTX 380 Ti so quickly.
Yeah, but you've been here on the stand-ups, Liv. I've got to read out all these headlines to all you guys. I'm getting better at saying all the different letters in order. I don't know how many that was. Let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Did that one twice. 9, 10, 11. I measured 11. 11 in 60 seconds. Let's see what we can do next week.
11 is the number to beat.
Cherie, can you take us into the big next section?
Yes, unpopular opinions, let your hate unfurl. I didn't even look at what we're hating on, so this should be exciting. Unpopular opinions.
Wow.
And this week's unpopular opinion is brought to you by Kimberly.
Oh yeah, so I review a lot of laptops, and I've just come across a lot of stuff that really drive me up a wall. And I was just like, you know what? I need to make a 2020 laptop trends that must die article. And the Laptop Mag team was immediately on board with it, especially Cherie. And, you know, this article included contributions from almost everyone, including Phil Tracy and Rami Tabari. And to be fair, you know, there are some trends that we actually like privacy shutters for webcams and fingerprint scanners, slimmer bezels, all that good stuff. But then we run into trends that were just like, why would you do that? Why? Case in point, one of those trends that we can't stand is webcams that are located on the bottom bezel. People call nose cams because it's like angled in a way that it's looking right up your nostrils. You can't type because, you know, this nose cam is like right there and your fingers get in the way. I mean, nobody likes bottom bezel cameras, but laptop makers continue to make them because the bezels get slimmer and slimmer. They don't know where to put it. So they put it on the thicker chin of the laptop and it just sucks. And yeah, those are one of the things I really, really hate seeing.
That is so dumb because, like, no matter how much working out you've been doing during lockdown, you're going to have a double chin if your webcam is pointing up. So it's just never flattering.
Indeed.
Exactly. I mean, Jesus. I mean, some of us are already, you know, insecure enough as it is. And then you have this freaking, you know, nose cam, like, giving you the worst angle possible. So, I mean, and some laptops do away with webcams altogether because they're just like, yeah, we don't know where to put it. And we know people hate nose cams. So, you know what? Let's just not have a webcam at all. So, I don't know what's worse. I mean, a nose cam or not having a webcam at all. So, but I mean, I get what they're saying because a lot of laptop makers do this on gaming laptops. And they're just like, you know what? I mean, you guys are going to get an external camera anyway, especially if you're live streaming. So you don't need a webcam at all. But I mean, if you're spending $2,000 on a laptop, you know, it'd be nice if I could have a camera on it.
I also, pulling from your article, which was amazing, by the way, she called Chromebooks Satan's favorite laptop, which...
Yeah, can't believe that.
You know why? Because they belong in hell. I mean, I can't stand how
they do.
Chromebooks don't have a desktop. You know, for me, a desktop is like a nice, comfortable home space where I can just drag all my favorite files into it for easy access. You know, I can use full versions of Microsoft Word and other Office productivity apps. And you always need a web connection when you're using Chromebooks. And, you know, you could be in the middle of writing a document, and if your internet just isn't working along with you, it might be difficult for you to save your work. And I just hate them so much. I just don't understand why they exist.
For the children, because the children. I have a beef to pick with dim displays. Like, why are y'all like this? Why in the year of our Lord 2020 are you like this? I already wear glasses, and I'm only wearing, like, typically if this was not a quarantine tree, I'd be rocking my contacts, but I've just thrown all caution to the wind. I'm wearing the glasses, I'm rocking apocalypse hair. It's just beyond me now. But what is not beyond me is the, like, I am utterly ivory at how dim displays are. And yes, I get that you're not going to get OLED quality, but at least let me be able to see it in regular light. Like, your laptop needs to be above 300 nits, at least. I should not be reviewing 250, 214, 200, like, these weird, below 300 is not a good look. And also, who is still making 1366 by 768 panels? Why is this a thing? Why do you hate joy? Why do you hate freedom? Who is buying this? I need to interview these people and ask them why, and give them a hug and tell them that someone loves them. Maybe not me, maybe I don't know, but someone out there, there's someone out there for you that you don't have to put yourself through this type of abuse. Get a 1080p display, people.
And another thing that I wish I included into this article is just bad naming conventions. Like, I can't stand, like, it doesn't even make sense from a marketing standpoint. Like, I don't understand why laptop makers do this. Like, if you want your laptop to spread through word of mouth, you don't want to have people tongue-tied trying to, you know, tell people about how great your HP150987LK laptop is. I mean, no one's going to remember that, but something as easy like as, I don't know, a Samsung Galaxy Flex 5 is so much easier to say. I just don't understand. I don't understand the motive, the mentality behind these crazy naming conventions that I will never remember, and it will never help with your word of mouth marketing. So it makes no sense.
I've got 2 points on this. Well, I've got 1 point on this in the sense of I agree with everything you wrote except the bit about the shift key on the Samsung IR50. Was it 15? I think that shift key, it's fine to have one small one and one big one. They're just the wrong way around. It's not the problem. They've shortened it. They've just switched them over. That's crazy. You can't do that. But you can't get annoyed about having one short and one long, right?
Oh, no. Have you tried typing on that laptop, Gareth? Like, it is so bad.
No.
When you type, you enjoy getting into a flow of things, right? It's just like ta-da-ta-ta, ta-ta-ta-ta, has some rhythm to it. Because the shift key is elongated, you're used to that elongation. But when it's shortened, you're hitting a completely different key. And on that specific laptop, I'm hitting the fingerprint scanner. So that's why I'm just like, da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm just like, oh, what's going on? And it's just my finger is landing on the fingerprint scanner instead of the shift key. So it takes some getting used to, but I never got over that adjustment period, and it just sucked and it was annoying. Just make the shift key regular, please.
Gareth, are you, do you use the right shift key? Like, I found that people don't use the right shift key and it weirds me out.
I only use the left one.
I use both.
I only use the left one as well. And and the right one's the long one. So, I mean, I use the little one all the time. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with this. Set Radar's told Laptop Mag how to review laptops. That's the way it should be, right? That sounds definitely fine.
Like, that's an article.
You made me wonder if left and right are different in your world, because I'm like, this one's definitely one I always
me
use.
Too.
I'm looking at my right.
Yeah, because like,
my right shift key is barely touched. There's barely any marks on it at all.
Because I found this out when I was complaining about a Razer laptop keyboard, and like, people that I know are like hardcore touch typists, they're like, yeah, we never touched the right shift key. I'm like, so I am befuddled. This might be an article in the making.
Right, guys, we are going so over time right now. I haven't got a chance to even go through my dad's section this week, but when I asked him about what he wanted to add into things, he just gave me loads of ideas for questions, of which not really helpful in terms of a end section. But one of them was, what Marvel or superhero character would you be? So you can tell the kind of level of what's coming up for future questions right now. And now we have to close this out. Thank you very much, everyone. This was great. It was nice to be back. I missed chatting away with all the things that come out with Tech World. So thank you again to all of you for being here, and all the listeners as well for listening. Kimberly, thank you for joining us. Please let us know how we can get in contact with you, should the people wish to.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter, Sweetened Cafe. That's SweetenedCafe.
Great. Liv?
Yep, you can also find me on Twitter. It's at Olivia Tambini. That's Olivia, TAMBINI.
And of course, Cherie, I think you've got some socials.
For all things Miss Smith, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Smith 11, M-I-S-S Smith. I can spell again, 11. And of course, read Laptop Mag for all your laptop, tablet, and anything that you can plug into those two devices news. Laptop before, laptop now, laptop forever. Yeah, I'm with it.
And obviously, if you want to go further and find out more than just laptop stuff, there's Tech Radar for you for all those kind of bits and pieces. We do loads of stuff. Come and check it out. It's loads of fun. And we're just Tech Radar on all the socials because it's very easy to remember. And I'm Gareth Beavis, Super Beav on Twitter, should you want to let us know. We really need to come up with a podcast hashtag. We haven't thought about it. For every single production meeting we forget, we will come up with one so you can get in contact with us and share your thoughts. But if you want to ping any of us on Twitter and let us know what you think the hashtag should be, we're all ears. And just to remind you, if you do like this podcast, please rate us 5 stars wherever you can do so. Subscribe wherever you get your pods. And just to remind you, we are part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. Please do check out all the other wonderful podcasts around, including Life Sciences, one of our sister sites, Life Little Mysteries. And again, thank you very much for listening, and we will speak to you all next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.